Okay, good afternoon. So we're going to start the sutta class. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ sanghaṃ namassāmi. So today we are doing these suttas, Majjhima Nikaya suttas number 2, Sabhasava suttas. This is in English is all the tens. So I will begin with just what is meant by all the tens. So this all the tens is the three tens that is referred to. That is the basic, the three basic defilements as a base of samsara. That is a base that keeps us in the cycle of existence. So there is this three asava. Asava is karma asava, the pain of sensual desires. So here they translate as pain. Actually is in the Pali, some they translate is influx, or in these agamas they said they call it outflowing. So this asavas is this is three asavas. There is the karma asavas, that is the outflow. I prefer the words of outflow, because this is how our mind go out, isn't it? With all the sensual pleasure, we always, when we sit here, our mind is going, isn't it? That is outflowing, you know, that keep us, this is the one is keep us in samsara. So there's the three asavas. The first one is karma asavas, that is the outflowing of sensual desires. This is the deep underlying tendency of sensual desires as a base of mind, flowing into the mind when stimulated by the impact of sensory impression. When we have something, there's an impact. Then the flow into, stimulated by the impact of the sensory impression, especially a pleasant, enjoyable sensory impression. So this karma asava gets provoked and flowing into the stream of consciousness. Then this is how then flow out through the five senses. Then we're looking out for this sensory pressure. We look for this object. I that's what I prefer, because some translation they use it as influx, but actually your mind actually is going out because of that impact, and then our mind go out. So in the agamas, it's a Chinese agama, actually they translate as outflowing. So because if most of you, if you meditate, you know how the mind go out. So I think to me, I prefer to use outflow. So this is the outflowing. And the second one is the bhava asava, that is the outflowing of existence. This is the deep fundamental craving for continuing existence, deep urge to go on in existing, and force that keep us in the cycle of existence. We want to live, we want to be exist. That is the one of the outflowing. We go out. We go out there, we tell people that we are exist, isn't it? We want to do all this, we want to do all that, we control this, control that. There is a sense of self. I'm here, I'm exist, you know. And the third one is the avijja asava. That is the ignorant. That is the actually is rather than delusion that we say ignorant, because delusion is that we experience that the experience is real, but only we misinterpret. So that's why it's delusion. We are deluded, isn't it? Because we do have the experience, but we misinterpret our experience. So that's why sometimes people say, why you say nonsense? Why is that not real? I feel that, you know? It's real. The feeling is real. The experience is real. But we, because of lack of understanding, so we don't have the clarity of mind. That's like we not knowing. So that's why we misinterpret it. So these three are more fundamental than the three unwholesome roots. So this actually these three asavas is the cause, is the source of keeping us in the samsara, in this cycle of existence. It's not three unwholesome roots, because the three unwholesome roots is because of its give rise to greed, hatred, and delusion, because of our craving to our karma asavas, our bhava asavas, and the avijja asavas, and this is that is the source, and they give rise to these three unwholesome roots. So this is the three basic defilements. So and this is so the asava is the cause, and unwholesome action, that is the three roots of an unwholesome action, that is the effect. So at least now you know what we are talking about. So this sutta is talk about our this three basic defilements that keep us in samsara, this outflowing of the mind. So now I'm going to start to read these suttas. Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savati in Jeta Grove, Anapitika's Park. There he addressed the bhikkhus thus, "Bhikkhus, Venerable Sir," they replied. The Blessed One said this, "Bhikkhus, I shall teach you a discourse on the restraint of all things. Listen and attend closely to what I shall say." "Yes, Venerable Sir," the bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said this. Okay. "Bhikkhus, I said that the destruction of the taints that is the outflowing is for one who knows and see, not for one who does not know and see. Who knows and see what? Wise attention and unwise attention. When one attends unwisely, unarisen taints arise and arisen taints increase. When one attends wisely, unarisen taints do not arise and arisen taints are abandoned." So actually this is saying that those who he said those who knows and see actually is refer to the to Sotapanna, to stream meaners, they see the Dhamma. They knows and see the Dhamma. And this is he talk about this wise attention. It's not just reflection. It's more like you looking into the origin, the source of this problem, this defilements. So it's not just, you know, like us, it's just reflecting, you know. It's not that kind, you know, that the deep, you know, looking into, investigating, looking into the origin, the source of these defilements. So actually, and then this is basically is referred to this, the four right effort. This is the refer to the four right efforts. There is like when you there is a there's not one who does not know and see, wise attention and unwise attention. When one attends unwisely, unarisen things arise, so and increase. So if we pay attention with unwise attention, then those defilements arises, you know. And then we will have to abandon it, and we can, and then it will increase. And then the other one that we have to, when not to allow those unarise, that is a four-right effort, isn't it? Unarise, unwholesome, these defilements to come out. And then if already arise, we have to abandon it. So the third right effort is to, we consciously, you know, to replace that with wholesome thoughts, and then with the wholesome thoughts, then we maintain that, we keep that. Then this is the four right efforts. So, and this is the fourth paragraph. pickles. And please, if you can stop me if you want to ask me. Pickles, there are things that should be abandoned by seeing. The things that should be abandoned by restraining. There are things that should be abandoned by using. There are things that should be abandoned by enduring. There are things that should be abandoned by avoiding. There are things that should be abandoned by removing. There are things that should be abandoned by developing. So, this is the things that should be abandoned by seeing. So this is as I already. The first one is seeing. Seeing is actually is refer to that understanding. It means the insight by seeing the Dhamma. So that by seeing non-self. And then the second one, then after that you have this by seeing, and then by avoiding, by restraining, by avoiding. So now we start with the things by to be abandoned by seeing. What things? Bhikkhus should be abandoned by seeing. Here, bhikkhus, an untaught ordinary person who has no regard for noble ones and is unskilled, undisciplined in the Dhamma, who has no regard for true men and is unskilled and undisciplined in the Dhamma, does not understand what things are fit for attention and what things are unfit for attention. Actually, this is referred to those who's not the stream winners. That is the since that is he attend to those things unfit for attention and he does not attend to those things fit for attention. So this is these three basic defilements that keep us in the samsara. I remember sometimes ago someone asked me, because this is the deep underlying tendency, we can't see that. But usually we can see the more prominent one. For example, someone said that just recently someone asked me that I feel agitated and irritated. Like I just feel angry, you know, out of the blue. You don't feel good. You know, you just that moment. He said, I don't know why I feel that. So I said, you don't go into, you try to analyze and why you feel that. So the moment that anger, that irritation arises, you know, you not to allow that to go further. Because those underlying tendencies is not very, very subtle. But because we have different level of mindfulness, your mindfulness is not there. You only aware only that part, isn't it? You're only aware that, oh, I feel a bit angry, you know, I feel agitated, irritated. So if you keep start to think maybe this, maybe that, you go into all speculation. And actually, you are reinforced that. You know, yeah. So you have to stop that. Because when these feelings come up, we follow by thoughts, isn't it? We think maybe this, maybe that, and we try to analyze. But actually, we are speculating, you know, maybe this and that, but because we really can't see, because that is very refined, but we only feel the agitation, we can only feel the anger, but we can't see what gives rise to that, you know. So that's why it's important that we just don't try to analyze, don't try to see, you know, because we can't. Because it's so refined and it's underlying tendency, so not to allow the mind to go, you know, further to reinforce that tendency. So now say come to this the sixth paragraph. They said, what are the things unfit for attention that he attends to? There are things such that when attends to, the unreasoned taints of sensual desire arises in him, and the reason taints of sensual desire increase, and the unreasoned taints of being arises in him, and the reason taints of being increase, the unreasoned taints of delusions arises in him. And this is how once, you know, this is the second noble truth that is the cause of our existence is because of the three desires, the desires, the sensual desires. So actually it is just the mind to go out to play with the five senses. That's why we are in this karma. This is the karma loka. And also because and our sensual desires increase, then we go out to being, you know, and just want to be exist. And that is the three desires. There's desires to be and desires not to be. That is that one. First is essential desires, desires to be, desires not to be. Desires not to be is still desire, still wanting, craving not to be is still craving. So, and then the arisen taints of ignorance increase. That is the delusion, going to the delusion. So this is how essential desire. We go desires and then give rise to that desires to exist, and these desires to exist, you know, will increase, and you give rise to our ignorance, our delusion become. We reinforce that, you know, and it's just like the it become. We reinforce that it's become more and more. It becomes stronger and stronger. So our delusion become really strong, and this is a trigger. So is that's why this is the second noble truth, that is the desires, the craving, the three craving, that is the cause, that is the source of keeping us in this cycle of existence. Is there any questions on that? No. So, and what are the things fit for attention that he does not attend to? And there are things that such that when he attend to them, the unarisen taints of sensual desire does not arise in him. And the arisen taint of sensual desire is abandoned. The unarisen taints of being does not arise in him, and the arisen taints of being is abandoned. The unarisen taints of ignorance does not arise in him, and the arisen taints of delusion is abandoned. These are things fit for attention that he does not attend to. But attending to things unfit for attention, and by not attending to things that fit for attention, both arisen things arise in him and arisen things increase. That means that things that we is unfit, that when we pay attention to that, you know, that give rise to these sensual desires and these defilements. And what are the things that we, you know, when we reflect on that, and that will not give rise to that sensual desire, to give rise to these defilements. So then in the seventh paragraph they said, this is how he attains unwisely. When we attain unwisely, then this comes up. Was I in the past? Was I not in the past? What was I in the past? And how was I in the past? Have been what? What did I become in the past? Shall I be in the future? Shall I not be in the future? What shall I be in the future? How shall I be in the future? Having been what shall I become in the future? Or else he is inwardly perplexed about the present. Am I? Am I not? What am I? How am I? Where has this being comes from? Where will I go? And this is how that give rise to that you carry that carry an assumption of a self. You know, when you did this, because of you have this existence, this outflowing, you know, of the desires to exist, the existence, and that when we are unwisely pay attention to that, then this is how we start to speculate. Is it that, you know, is it that is a self, and is it whether that is in the what was I in my previous life, if that is a cell, you know, what is my previous life. And I know when I was young, I used to think that sometimes I was so scary, I feel so scary. I feel like, oh, after I die, where am I going, you know? Oh, you see, only this life, if there is next life, so where are we going to reborn, you know, all sorts of things, you know. Then you start that really scary, isn't it? This is how, I think we all have that, isn't it? We all will keep thinking, you know, is it that is past life? If there is past life, you know, so what I was, you know, who am I, and then where I will be reborn, you know. And especially sometimes you hear about all this, you're reborn in this health realms and all this, you know. And then sometimes I remember when I was young, when this comes up, I feel so scared. I said, no, I'm not going to think about it. And now I'm still young. So this is how, you know, I'm still young to die, so never mind, I just put it aside. I told myself, I worry about it later. So I put it aside, but because you really don't know, and especially things that you don't know, the fear arises, because you really don't know where you're heading to, if that is a self, if after that, you know, and where am I going? And it's so scary, you know. So I was thinking, oh, then, so each time I don't touch that. When this comes, I push it aside, so I'm not thinking about this, you know. Now I just worry about it. Then I said, when I grow older, only I start to worry about it. But that time I was really, really deluded. I think that, you know, only when I grow old, only I die. It's not, isn't it? Even you young also, you will die any time, you know. So, yeah. So then when you attend unwisely, yes?
So we just go to the present all the time. So we know what's happening.
Rather than
speculating about the past or where we come from.
And because this is all just speculation and just an assumption, we carry the assumption, this is how, whether is this, whether this and whether that. But we really don't know. and then because we keep doing that, actually we reinforce our delusion, you know. We keep doing that, you know. So, is there anything? Okay. So, when he attends unwisely in this way, one of the six views arises in him. So, the first one, the views, this is how when to go into a ego, when you unwisely, you attend unwisely, these essential desires arises and they increase, and then they give rise to this being, you know, the desires of being existent, and that give rise to the sense of self. It's me and mine. So the views of self exists for me arise in him as true and established. This is that the belief that this is a permanent self. The self continues permanently into the future. So then no self exists for me arise in him as true and established. So this is not the non-self. This is annihilation. That is that, okay, this is this views that the self exists only in this present life. This is the material self that, you know, okay, when we die, that's it. No more future life, nothing. So all views that I perceive self with self arises in him as true and established. That is, I can see the self with self. That is that you can see the, and yeah, that is me, I'm here, I can see. That is the self, you know. That is the self, I'm the self in me, I'm the self. So, and then the other one is I perceive not self with a self. That is that you can, that is a self, but you can't really see the self, but you know that is a self. You know? You get that? Okay. So the first one, I repeat, the first one is a eternalist view, that is the self continues permanently into the future. The second one is annihilation view, that is the self exists only in the present life. So the third one is that is the self, that we can see the self with a self. And the fourth one, that is the self, but you can't really see the self, but you know that is a self. You know that is a self there. And then the fifth one, that said perceive self with no self. Actually, this one should be perceived non-self with self. That is this is really seeing the non-self. This is the Buddha one, the right one. That is the fifth one. Okay? So the sixth one is that this is the self of mind that speak and feels and experience here and there, results of good and bad action. And the self is mind. This is like you take all these, the five khandhas as me and mine. This is myself. Like our feelings is myself, you see. That is me, you see. So actually when the Buddhists talk about non-self, it's not that there's nothing. It's not that nothing. It's just that if you think that this is a self, the Buddha said we can say that, you know, we can control. We can say, oh, I may my body do not grow old. May I not say, may I not die. So that is self. So it's not that nothing there. Because you say, you know, I'm there. I can feel this person is here. So what the Buddha define non-self, that is no something that is like unchanged, permanently, this, you know, is there, and then you can control, then they call a self. So because we cannot control even our these five aggregate, the five khandhas, the five aggregate, isn't it? The body we cannot control, isn't it? So the feelings, perception, you know, then we take this perception as me and mine, these five aggregates. I can see this person, my feeling, my experience, and all this, we take this to be me and mine. This is a self, you know. So it is the self of mind that speak and feels and experience here and there, the results of good and bad action. But the self of mind is permanent. So they believe that this is a permanent. So then to be permanent, everlasting, eternal, no subject to change, and it will endure as long as eternity. The speculation then gives rise to these speculative views, because it's called the taker of views, the wilderness of views, the contractions of views, the vacillations of views, the factors of views, the factors by the factors of views, the untaught ordinary person not free from birth, aging, death, from sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. He's not free from suffering, I said. So this is what, now he's talking about untaught ordinary person. Is that the person that is like, they have no knowledge of the Dharma. There's no knowledge of the Dharma, and you don't see the Dharma. Actually, when the Buddha saw about someone who see the Dharma, someone have that insight, actually, he's always referring to Stream Venus. So whoever that we haven't attained that, so we all are Puttujana, okay? Puttujana is that we are non-Arya. So as long as we don't reach that, we are all ordinary untaught. ordinary person, so we are still not free from birth, aging, and death, and from sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, and is not free from suffering, I said. So then the Buddha continued to say, Bhikkhus, a well-taught noble disciple who has regards for noble ones, is skilled and disciplined in the Dharma, who has regard for true men and is skilled and disciplined in the Dhamma, understand that things are fit for attention and things, what things are unfit for attention. Seeing that is so, he does not attend to those things unfit for attention, and he attend to those things fit for attention. So this is referring to the Srinivas, because they are skilled in the they're skilled in the Dhamma, and their discipline and skill in the Dhamma, and who is have the understanding, and they have the insight. You know, what are the things unfit for attention that he does not attend to? So this is the repeat again. Like, he knows that he will not go into this sensual desires and things like that. So it's just like, you know how, because the sutta sometimes I just repeat again. So now we go to what are the areas, what are the stream winners, those at least, you know, attain first stage of enlightenment. There's a stream winners. He will attains wisely. This is suffering. That is the four noble truth, you know. So he's for a stream winners, they see the non-self. So they have the insight, and then they have abandon the three factors, the lower factors, that is the personality will, doubt, and not attached to rights and ritual. This is said that rules and observance. That means that you don't attach that, oh, I'm doing this with the understanding that, oh, that will, I will free, get enlightened, I'm doing this certain practices, you know, and you don't attach to that, because that is wrong view. So they don't have that wrong views anymore to believe that, you know, that you do that, and then, you know, and just recently, I think a couple of days ago, that lady, she said, I'm born in monkey. I think monkey is not such a good year for her. And she said, I bought a pendant and give it to me. Can you bless this? So that I was thinking, because I discourage all this, but sometimes it's difficult. That person just came, and I can't give her a long discourse to tell her what, isn't it? It's so difficult to really explain to her, you know. And this is not really, you know, even I chant, I bless, it's not going to really protect you, you know. But I just, okay, you want me to chant, I just chant. But, you know, sometimes people believe that, you know, I do certain things and this help me, you know, that, like for example, like in Malaysia, some Malays, I think here those Aboriginal people also, they believe cleansing, you know. So in Malaysia, we use, you know, in Malaysia, they put those smoke, you know, they go the whole house, so they clean the house. So there is the cleansing. I think original people that have also have that, the cleansing, you know. So actually, it's so easy that can cleanse, you know. Then we all don't have to practice, you know. So and I know even in sometimes in Malaysia, some temples, there was said that, you know, you do certain things that you burn all your bad karma away. And then you know that you pay money, and then they say, oh, I like the likes for you, and then they do some ceremony, and the ceremony is called like burning your karma. They burn your bad karma away, so you don't have the experience. your bad karma will not ripen, it's all burns away, you know. And this is wrong views, you know, to believe that do this, you know. So stream Venus that they are free of that, they do not, you know, attached to all this. So they are already abandoned these three lower factors. So this is the 11, they said, you say, attends wisely, this is suffering. He attends wisely, this is the origin of suffering. There is a cause of the suffering. Attends wisely, this is the cessation of suffering. That is the third noble truth. That is attends wisely, this is the way leading to cessation of suffering. That is to the way to leading cessation of the suffering, that is to practice the noble four path. When he attends wisely in this way, three factors are abandoned in him. That is the personality will, I mentioned just now, doubt. So that's why a stream winners that have complete, you know, unshakable faith in the Dhamma. they have no doubt. And adherence to rules and observances, I mentioned, you know, and people believe that, you know, doing all these things are free from, yes? Actually, they don't really mention about on the path how much, you know. Usually they just mention extreme Venus, you know, that you, but if you're in the path, you're bound to, yeah, you're on the right path, so you're leading there. But actually, I don't know, because in the suttas, they don't really mention, they always said that, you know, the extreme Venus, they abandon these three lower factors. Yes, it's just like sometimes we know that we practice in the right way, then actually we know that unwholesome state of mind decrease, wholesome state of mind increase, and we know that we are leading the right path. Yes.
Are you referring to stream intras or
yes. So the first abandoning of this outflowing of all these asavas, that is these defilements, the source of the defilements, the three basic, basic defilements that keep us in the samsara. The first one has to be someone see already, they have their insight. Has to be the first. There is a stream winners. So because that what the Buddha taught about the seeing is not just the seeing, that is the insight, the understanding. They see, they be able to see the three characteristics, that is a non-self. So that's why they don't have personality. They still have self, you know, but they don't have this personality will. So they have the complete unshakable confidence in the Dhamma, they have no doubt. And then the third one is they are not attached to all these rites and ritual anymore. So this is the first the stream winners. So this abandoned by seeing, that is the insight with the wisdom, that, you know. So that's why here when they talk about a wise attention, you know, and it's not something that you just pay attention, not just the bare awareness, no. It's that kind of awareness with the clear comprehension, with wisdom. Like for example, we may aware of things, but we don't really know, we don't have the wisdom to know, okay, you know, if I'm going with go along with this, it's going to lead me to suffering, you know. It's going to, you don't see that, you just bear aware. You don't have the wisdom, you see. Like for example, the kind of like mindfulness, like a lot of athletes, like, you know, sportsmen and women, they have that. You have to be really mindful. You have to be really focused, isn't it? But it's not the kind of mindfulness. Not the kind of, you know, this kind of mindfulness. You have the clarity. You're seeing, you know, what leading you to, and what is, you know, the cause will cause you, leads you to suffering. You know, you can that with the wisdom, with the clarity, your mind with the clarity, with wisdom, not just bare aware awareness. Okay. So then we go to the taints to be abandoned by restraining. So how we rest, where we can we be able to restrain. That's why sometimes we cannot get rid of things, we cannot get rid of our defilements by trying to use willpower. You can't. In fact, we reinforce that. So that's why we need to restrain. Sometimes we need to restrain so that it don't go further. Like just now I mentioned, when your anger arises, so we have to restrain ourselves, isn't it, not to go further. So but we cannot get rid of our defilements. By using willpower, we can. But it's just like when we restrain it, it's just like we starve it. Not feeding it, you starve it. So then when you don't starve, eventually, you know, when, you know, you have nothing to eat, you know. So eventually, dead. It's the same thing, you just not to feed it. So Because sometimes when, because this is translation, when they use abandon, and you know, this is how our perception, like when abandon, we talk about abandon, we were thinking of, we think like, oh, we get rid of something. Actually, it's not getting rid of something. We can't get rid of things, you know. And it's just like, we not to reinforce that. So this is to be abandoned by restraining. So we have to restrain. So what tames bhikkhus should be abandoned by restraining? Here a bhikkhu reflecting wisely abides if eye faculties restrain. What tames vexations and fever might arise in ones, that is the evil desires in ones who abides in the eye faculties unrestrained. There are no tames. So it's just like sometimes when we see things, you know, that like if we don't restrain, you know, like for example, it's the same like for monks or nuns, you know, like or young, sometimes also you can't say young monks or young nuns, you know, as far as you're not free from, you're not enlightened, you still have that, isn't it? It's just given the condition, you know, when the condition is there, you know, this underlying, you know, sensual desire, it comes out, you know. So there's like we can't say young or old. As long as you still have that, you know, underlying tendency, you still have this, so we have to restrain ourselves, you know. For example, we see beautiful things, we do not get, you know, if we don't restrain ourselves, then we really it's very nice, I want this. And this is how you give rise to that, isn't it? Oh, I want this, this is really good. And then this is how, you know, the desires, you know, the evils, the desires arises, isn't it? So, and then we want this, this is really good. And then we can't get it, we got very angry and upset, isn't it? And with the eyes, you know, restrained, with the eye faculty unrestrained. So they said when with the eyes, so then they said there are no taints, vexation or fever in ones who abides with the eyes faculty restrained. So we restrain ourselves. So to restrain our defilements so that we don't go further, not to reinforce that underlying tendency. So reflecting wisely, he abides with the ear faculties restrained, like we hear something, you know. For example, like we hear something like someone being nasty, said, you know, terrible thing to us, you know. So if we react to that, we go on and on thinking about that, you know. So this is not, it's just the same because it's unpleasant, isn't it? Then give rise to anger. Isn't it? Someone said nasty things to us, or even sometimes we see something that is not nice. For example, we see someone doing things that are horrible, you know, with the eyes, and you give rise to that self-righteousness, this person wrong, not right, and then we go back, we go on, we got upset, you know. Then we have to restrain ourselves. Actually, none of our business, isn't it? Because if someone, because we don't have to be responsible for that person, you know, behavior or conduct is someone doing something that is, you know, nasty. So that's why this is how we don't restrain ourselves. Sometimes we react to that, you know, what we see, you know, give so that the trigger, and then we give rise to this greed or anger. So then, what we hear, you know, some things that we don't like it, and we got upset, we got angry, and so on. And then with the nose, faculties restrained, and with the tongue, and you know, the five senses. So for the five senses, we abandon this upflowing, this asavas, you know, to really go out to play with it, you know, that by restraining our senses. But it's not the, like the Buddha's do self modification is not that. And eat, you know, try to eat one very little It's not that kind that, you know, it's not that, oh, I shouldn't enjoy when we got some, sometimes people said to me that, as if they feel so guilty if they have food, very nice food. I said, it's okay. But you're not thinking about, you know, oh, I'm going to get this, you know, I you know, I want more, become greedy, you know, but you just, you know, it's a food, it's just nice, you just enjoy, you know. So, and then with the body faculties restrained, with the mind faculties restrained, and then this is the mind faculties, that means that it's the, sometimes the mind object sometimes arises, that sometimes it pops up, you know, some object in our minds, maybe sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's unpleasant. So sometimes we attend to that, you know, then we get sucked in. And then our mind go on and on thinking about it. And then we reinforce that tendency. So, while pains, vexation, and fever might arise in one who abides with the faculties unrestrained. So there are no pains, vexation, or fever in one who abides with the faculties restrained. So when you restrain, so this ill will and desires will not arise. So these are called pains, these are called the outflow of the mind that should be abandoned by restraining. So now come to using, taints to be abandoned by using. So what taints, bhikkhus, should be abandoned by using? Here, a bhikkhu reflecting from cold, for protection from contact with gadflies, mosquitoes, wind, sun, and creeping things, and only for the purpose of concealing the private parts. So then we use that, you know, it's just to keep, you know, to cover our body, to protect our body. I remember someone told me that the abbot, the monks, they have these silk robes, make of silk, you know. So that is a bit luxurious, you know. We just, you know, it's okay, just, it's good enough, it's just for that purpose. So it's not for to look good and, you know, to be fashionable. So sometimes this is how, this is again, that is the sense of self, isn't it? Me, isn't it? Me is a fashionable person. Me is very nice. I dress very nice. All my dress, you know, all this again is come from the sense of self again, isn't it? I remember when I was a lay person, my goodness, every morning you have to think of what you're going to dress, you know. And then I remember when I go for a dinner or something, you know, and then you have to look for an outfit, you know, and then you make sure that you don't repeat, and then you make sure that the person going the same dinner, that they don't see you always wearing the same one. And actually when you look back, actually lots of suffering, it's truly, but that time when you are in it, you don't see that it's suffering, until you come out, and I look back, wow, my goodness, so much suffering, you know. Have to think every morning what to wear, you know. Make sure that each month I have to make sure I have a new outfit, you know, so that people don't see me wearing the same thing, you know. What the color I match, you know. And sometimes so painful wearing those high heels, you know. So actually, the moment I let go, the moment I don't do that, I feel such a relief. But that time, you don't see, you know. You really don't see the time when I look back, I'm going to attend a dinner, you know. Almost few hours ahead, I have to prepare, you know. Afternoon, go to a hair salon to do my hair. You know, sometimes hair salon takes you 2 hours, you know. 3 hours and come back, make up some more for 1 or 2 hours, you know. And then almost half a day to prepare. And then you go to dinner, you go to party, you think that you are there. The center of attention, I think people don't even notice you. You know? This is how you keep, this is again come from the sense of self, you know, me, you know. I you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know. I look beautiful, I'm nice, you know. So reflecting wisely, I use alms food neither for amusement nor for intoxication nor for the sake of physical beauty and attractiveness, but only for the endurance and continuance of this body, for ending discomfort, and for assisting the holy life. Considering thus, I shall terminate old feelings without arousing new feelings, and I shall be healthy and blameless, and shall live in comfort. So we just reflect that, you know, so we how we use, you know, that, you know, we know that, oh, I'm eating this only for, it's like a medicine to keep my body going, you know, but not to create like, so greedy, you know. And then I know some people have to into so much of like eating, you know. Some people travel so long, so far, you know, like in Malaysia, some people from KL, they take a train, you know, from KL about 2 hours, you know, go to Ipoh to eat certain famous food. They're really into that taste, you know, the food, you know. And this is also craving, you know, that is desire triggered off, yeah. Then you know, always want nice food or the taste. And yeah, they do that, you know. They go morning, they take a train, and then they go down, because in Ipoh is very famous with the rice noodles with those chicken and bean sprouts, and people from KL all the way take a train, you know. So reflecting wisely, he uses the resting place only for protection from cold, for protection from heat, for protection from contact with gas, flies, mosquitoes, wind, the sun, and creeping things, and only for the purpose of warding off perils of climates and for enjoying retreats. So he knows that, you know, we have a shelter. This is for us to live in seclusion. You know, the most important things, you know. Sometimes, like, even we have a big house, and actually, we can, we, how much space we need, isn't it? Even we have five, a big, you know, huge, you know, size of king size bed, only that part. So we don't need a lot, you know. And again, this is how that, because all this, like, the if we don't use this thing, reflecting this wisely and remind ourselves, because part of this mindfulness is also to remember. So that's why when we use anything, we use what we want, and we use what, not what we want, sorry, what we need and not what we want, you know. So we can have lots of things. I've seen people have lots of things that they don't even need it, and they keep buying, because they give them one of the a way to distract themselves, a way to running away from things. They keep shopping and buying, you know, because that is how they running away from looking into that the emotion, you know. This is, like I said, sometimes people shopping, they don't necessarily need those things. It's just that as a way and an escape route, you know, running away from looking into one's, you know, facing and into one emotion, you know, the own one's emotion, especially with this negative emotion when this arises, you know, and actually, it's because it's unpleasant, and people running away, so people use that as a way to distract themselves, you know, so they're doing all these things. Then actually, when we do that, you know, because it's unskillful, unwise, actually, the fact we reinforce our defilements, it's become even stronger. So, then reflecting wisely, he uses medicinal recursives only for protection from a recent afflicting feelings and for the benefit of good health. Yes, and sometimes nowadays, you know, I saw an article, these women into buying all these health food, and she spent thousands of dollars, very expensive, like 20,000-30,000 she bought, and she still got a lot, and she still keep buying. and her house stores so much, a lot, all boxes of, you know, all those, you know, health, you know, all those supplements, and she got a lot. You know, this is how, because you're just so attached to the body, you're so afraid that you think that, you know, you eat all these things, you're not going to get sick. You know, you'll be healthy, you can live forever. I mean, so what pains, vexation, and fever might arise in one who does not use the requisite test, there are no pains, vexation, or fever in one who uses them test. This is called the things that should be abandoned by using. So when whatever we use, if we don't use it wisely, we don't reflect, we don't remind ourselves that it is good enough, you know, this is only for that. So sometimes this is how we get sucked into that, isn't it? Into buying all sorts of things. Then we reinforce our defilements, our greed, hatred, and delusion. Because when we get sucked in, when we can't get what we want, what we want, you got angry, isn't it? You got upset. So now this comes to things to be abandoned by enduring. What things, Pikus, should be abandoned by enduring? See, base cold and heat, hunger and thirst, and contact with gets flies, mosquitoes, wind, the sun, and creeping things. He endures ill spoken. You see, here is endures ill spoken. You see, someone being said nasty things to you, we have to endure. Because it's no point for us to, you know, get angry, or we react, or we say something nasty to that person. You know, sometimes, you know, you cannot control what other people said. That's why you still have to endure. So welcome, unwelcome words, and arisen bodily feelings that are painful, racking, sharp, teasing, disagreeable, distressing, menacing to life, what taints, vexation, and fear might arise in one who does not endure such things. Like sometimes we don't feel well, we are sick, of course we see doctor, you know, we try to take medicine, but sometimes after taking medicine it's still pain, isn't it? Then we just have to endure, because sometimes if we don't endure that, because this endure is not, this kind of endurance is not that kind of using willpower to endure. You understand? Because with the wisdom, you understand that this is part of being alive, being part of being having this body. What do you expect? It's not like the willpower, you know. I remember in one of Achan Cham books, so he mentioned about, you practice patient endurance. It's not by purposely you go and find yourself put yourself in a difficult situation, or you go and sit next to the fire or the stove there, you know, and then you say, oh, I bear with the heat. It's not, this is how you endure, you know. But you understand that this endurance actually is based on that understanding with wisdom, to know that this is just part of life. This is part of being in this samsara, having this body. When you have body, what do you expect? You know, no matter how hard you try to look after your body, sometimes you still have body discomfort. So, but sometimes if you are not skillful, sometimes we get into upset, I feel like that, why I feel uncomfortable, why only me, and then the mind go on, and then this is how we give rise to lots of mental suffering. We increase that. We ourselves create more mental suffering. So that's why this endurance is not by using willpower, you know, that, you know, I try to stand, I'm strong, I'm good. And then this is with ego. You know, this is with ego. I'm strong enough, I'm able to endure, you know. So don't be, because you are come with the ego. Yeah, I'm a strong man, I'm a strong woman, you know. I can endure. Endure this, you know, and with willpower, and this is not what is really the Buddha's referring to. Actually, that with that, So, what pains, vexation, and fever might arise in one who does not endure such things. There are no taints cessation of evil in one who endures them. So these are called the taints that should be abandoned by endurance. So now we come to taints to be abandoned by avoiding. You see, sometimes we can avoid, you know. So what taints because should be abandoned by avoiding? Here, a bhikkhu reflecting wisely. We are not living in the jungle, but I think we just, like for example, we know someone like getting very angry and upset, you know. Then it's no point that we go and, you know, go there and try to tell the person, oh, you shouldn't do that, isn't it? You walk away, you know, we avoid, you know. Sometimes we know that, you know, we going to get us into troubles, we don't go there, we avoid, we walk away, isn't it? And then we know that sometimes that person got very angry and upset with us. So that's no point that you try to talk to that person, they won't listen. Then the best thing is to walk away, isn't it? Because whatever you said, they won't listen, so you walk away. But of course, Buddha's time, those the monks stay in forest, so that they have to avoid all these like wild elephant, wild horse, wild bull, wild dog, snakes, bramper, patch, chasm, cliff, cesspit, a sewer, reflecting wisely, he avoids sitting on unsuitable seats, wandering the unsuitable resorts, and associate with bad friends. You see, now you said, like, we avoid to associate with someone with bad friends, you know, someone that are not wise. So like some people said to me that, you know, like, you know, sometimes it's difficult, how come, you know, we practice loving kindness and compassion, and how come we, you know, we cannot just push someone away, you know? Then I said, no, I'm not asking you to push them away, be nasty to them, but you know that associate with someone, with a bad friends, you know, someone is not good for you, but you still can be nice. You still, you know, if you can help, you still can help that person. But not to associate with them. It's not that you have to run away and push them away, you know, but you just don't associate with them. So this we can avoid, you know, we avoid. And since if he were to do so, wise companions in the holy life might suspect him of evil conduct. So like just now he's like mentioned about avoid sitting and unsuitable seats, like, you know, especially for monarchs. Actually, with opposite sex, we don't sit close in a secluded, you know, area. This is more like to avoid that. Like for example, like for monks and nuns, we have our precept, we have our rules, you know. So sometimes, of course, we very difficult, and sometimes, like for example, like we have traders, you know, they come and that's why you only business. So we have to be careful. So if just a few words, they ask, oh, what do you want to do? So, and then I try to keep it short, but not into a conversation. So if you know that, you know, you're going to be long, you're going to talk to the traders long, so you have to find a sharp one. But sometimes you get caught, you stand there, they come and say, sometimes very funny, one of our traders, one of the nuns said, hey, sorry, I can't talk to you now, I get the shot. I'm not a bad guy, I'm a good guy. You know? You think I am, you know? I'm not trying to take advantage of you. But sometimes we are very skillfully, we try to. So that's why I told the nuns, I said, you try to keep it short, like they ask you something, you quickly, you know, but not to start a conversation to talk too long, you know, just, yeah, hello, and then, you know, and then if you need to talk to him, then you ask him to wait for a little while, you get a sharp one. So this is how we have to avoid, we try to avoid. You know, for example, unless we don't know. For example, I get caught so many times, you know, when I was in the office and the traders come and knock on my office door, and what can I do? You know, I stand there. So normally I go out, I just stand at the door there and talk to him. So usually I keep it very fast and short. and not try to set more, not to start the conversation. So this is how we avoid. We know that certain situation going to lead us to troubles, problem, any. We avoid. We don't go into that. You know. So things to be abandoned by removing. Okay. So what things because should be abandoned by removing? Here a bhikkhu reflecting wisely does not tolerate an unreason thoughts of sensual desire. He abandons it, he annihilates it. He does not tolerate an unreason thoughts of ill will. This is how when the lust arises, then we reflecting on renunciation, you know, and thinking of giving, you know, right? Then because this is counteract of greed, when desires, you know, this arises, then if you are not careful, the way to remove it is to replace it. To replace that, then thinking of renunciation, and if the ill will arises, then we replace with loving kindness. So we replace the kind thoughts if you have ill will, you know. So replace the thinking. So replace the unwholesome thinking with wholesome thinking. So he does not talk. He does not listen evil unwholesome state. So he abandoned them the way with them. There are no taints, cessation of fever in one. These are called taints that should be abandoned by some thoughts. So we don't follow the unwholesome thoughts, but we replace the unwholesome thoughts with wholesome thoughts. Taints to be abandoned by developing. So there's like qualities. So when we deal with these qualities, then we do abandon these things to be abandoned by developing. Here a bhikkhu reflecting wisely develops the mindfulness. That is the seven factors of enlightenment. That is the mindfulness enlightenment factors. This is supported by seclusion, dispassion and cessation, and ripens in relinquishment. He develops investigation of states, enlightenment factor, the energy enlightenment factor, the rapture enlightenment factor, the tranquility enlightenment factor, the concentration, the stillness enlightenment, the enlightenment factor, the equanimity enlightenment factor, which is supported by seclusion, dispassion and cessation, and ripens in relinquishment. So what things cessation and fever might arise in one who does not develop these enlightenment factors, or fever in one who then should be abandoned by developing. It's like in this whole path of the practice, actually we are not only restraining, like for example we keeping the five precepts, so we restraining, not only restraining ourselves, but we consciously develop, establish, like you know, kindness and compassion. Like pity itself is an expression of kindness and compassion, because we give, we practice renunciation. You know, we but when we keep the precept, also we practice non-harming, non-violent, and this is how we develop that. At the same time, we deliberately develop. Thoughts of, you know, we bring in a thoughts of loving kindness. We practice generosity. We've been, you know, been of service, and this is how we develop this quality. Like other qualities, like you know, gratitude, you know, all this contentment, all this, because this is all the spiritual qualities to support the practice. So, and when this grow, is naturally. Our defilements will be weaker, isn't it? When we grow, so it's just like the defilements, like those that seed, you know, that's the seed that we starve it, but we keep, you know, nurture and watering and grow all the, you know, we plant in nice seed, we grow the wholesome seed, you know, the plant, you know, good plant, we let it grow. So we develop that. So while we develop that, and then there is a way to abandon that these defilements. So this is the last part. So we come to conclusion. Bhikkhus, when a bhikkhu, the things that should be abandoned by seeing have been abandoned by seeing, when the things that should be abandoned by restraining have been abandoned by restraining, when the things that should be abandoned by using have been abandoned by using, when the things that should be abandoned by enduring have been abandoned by enduring, when the things that should be abandoned by avoiding have been abandoned by avoiding, when the things that should be abandoned by removing have been abandoned by removing, when the things that should be abandoned by developing have been abandoned by developing, then he is called a bhikkhu whose realm restrained with restraint of all things. He has severed craving, flung off fetters, and with the complete penetration of conceit, he has made an end of suffering. So that is what the Blessed One said. The bhikkhus will sacrifice and delight in the Blessed One's world. So, so these are the outflowing. This is three asavas. So this is three asavas is a cause of keeping us in the samsara. And this is underlying tendency. That are the cause. So the three unwholesome, I just repeat again, the three unwholesome roots, that is the effect, it gives rise to that. So that is the greed, hatred, and delusion is not the source, is not the cause, that the roots that keep us in the cycle of existence. But because of we, like the Buddha said, we attend this unwisely, then it gives rise to that. That is a cause like anger, ill will, you know, that are not, great hatred and delusion is not the root, is not the cause, the source of keeping us in the samsara. But of course, because of that, give rise to unwholesome action, unwholesome deeds. But because if we are not skillful and we reinforce that, you know, then we become unskillful, give rise to this unwholesome action. So this unwholesome action actually indeed reinforce our underlying tendency, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Because then when we react unskillfully, we do unskillful action, you know, or whatever behavior that is unskillful, and we feeding it, we reinforce that underlying tendency. So this is today's sutta class. Any more questions or comments? Okay, this the first question they say. This person from Penang. I find it hard to restrain my speech because I find it difficult to be mindful all of the time. This leads to many regrets. What suggestion do you have to solve this problem? It's just like sometimes we cannot bite back our tongues, isn't it? So that's why this is one of the way that we have to practice, like each time we, like the Buddha's mention is in one of the Rahula, the teaching to Rahula, that he said, you know, before you speak, you have to train yourself, you know, stop before you speak. This is very important, and you have to slow down. You have to train yourself. Of course, this will not happen overnight, because sometimes old habits die hard, isn't it? But you know, it's possible. It's not that it's possible. We are trainable. So there's one of the way is to try to slow down our reaction and try to stop before we speak. It's just one of the teaching that the Buddha gave to Rahula, his son. He said, you reflect. you know, before you speak. But sometimes, like, you know, each time after that, you know, even after our action, also we reflect. So make sure that next time you don't do it, you know. So that's why you have to train the mind. Each time you speak, you just pause. Don't immediately react and immediately, you know, say anything. Make it a habit. So you have to train yourself. Questions from Ken from Vancouver, Canada. Is the sutta's topic in the Agamas? Have you read it? Is it similar? This is because I saw one of the in a Chinese, because it's in Chinese. Because the Chinese, I think if you know Chinese, when they said about the taint, that low that is flow up. That's why that is the translation, because they have the translation there. So, but I didn't really read it because I saw that these words in Chinese. So that's why I know. But I didn't really read the whole suttas, these agamas in Chinese. I didn't. But I flipped through. I saw the words there. So actually, in that translation, they said it's like leak. Low is leak, so that is like flowing out. And because of also we meditate, we know how's the mind. Our minds always go out, isn't it? So that's why it's more like I prefer to use like flowing out, going out, because the flowing out, that's why we it's really draining, isn't it? If our mind, you know, if someone is restless, your mind always go up. You feel really tired, very stressful. So when we are still, we are bright, we are energetic. So that's why that is the mind keep going out. We like to go out. That's why very difficult to be still, because of the sense of self, the ego, that we always want to control. The mind always want to go out. So that's why the only thing that to let that go. You just need more training, developing this path, you know. So any more questions or comments? She want? No? No more? Okay. So no questions or comments? Okay. So we are a hand.